Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
By the grace of God, I want to speak to you on what I have titled, or what was dropped in my spirit, The Five Mysteries of Christ's Birth. The Five Mysteries of Christ's Birth. Clap now, Sister Dorothy. It won't stop me from coming to collect drumstick. Amen. Hallelujah. So please, let's not overeat. Let's not overdrink. Let's not lose ourselves. Let us remember we are Christians. Let us remember Christ. And let us remember that the principle of the kingdom is self-control. Amen. Now, we've already read some of the texts I would have read. Second Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. Because of time, I won't go into it. Praise the Lord. I hope you paid attention when we're reading the text. But I'm going to make a reference to the two scripture verses that were read. Okay? So, Father, anoint my lips of clay. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Enable me to speak your word with simplicity and clarity. Help me to speak as your oracles. Give me a mouth and a wisdom that the adversary cannot refute nor gainsay. Help me to speak in such a way that communicates truth in a simplistic fashion. In the name of Jesus. Let faith be stirred up in our hearts, and let grace for obedience be delivered to us. Thank you, precious Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So, allow me to begin with what a mystery is. Praise the Lord. Who is giving me time? Who is timing? No time, okay. Allow me to begin with what a mystery is. So, what really is a mystery? Because when we talk about the mysteries of Christ's birth, I can call it the mystery of Christmas, but I rather say the mystery of Christ's birth. Amen. Since we don't find the word Christmas in the Bible, so what is a mystery? We need to understand what a mystery is to be able to understand what the mysteries of Christ's birth are. Are we together? So, the dictionary defines the word mystery as that which is difficult to understand. When something is difficult to understand, difficult to explain, or beyond comprehension, we refer to that thing as a mystery. Are we together? Praise the Lord. A mystery is something whose understanding is beyond our natural scope of knowledge. Amen. Amen. I think it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, Paul says that things which we preach, the natural man cannot understand them. Amen. He said they are foolishness to him. But he says the man of the spirit is able to understand them. So mysteries are difficult to comprehend by a natural understanding. It doesn't mean you cannot get them by spiritual understanding. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 One other definition defines a mystery as something that is not known about. Something that exists but is unknown to the majority. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So the Bible defines a mystery as what? The wisdom of God concealed. I hope I'm communicating. Am I getting across? He said we speak a wisdom. He said we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom of God. So when we talk about the mysteries of God, we are talking about God's wisdom concealed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are without, those who are outside. Amen. So there are things that God has hidden, wisdom of God hidden in plain sight, but the average man does not see them. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I have the God's Word translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7? God's Word translation, 1 Corinthians 2, 7. Praise the Lord. He says, we speak about the mystery of God's wisdom. It is a wisdom that has been hidden, which God had planned for our glory before the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, a mystery is what? God's wisdom concealed. But the Bible does not stop there. It says that God had hidden this wisdom. Amen. No, sorry, let me rephrase that. It goes on to say that this wisdom, even though it has been hidden, God had planned it or ordained it for our glory. So what are we talking about? We are talking about the wisdom of God that is concealed in Scripture that has prophetic indicators to our redemption. Am I communicating? Am I making sense? I'm not talking. Praise the Lord. Because when he talks about our glory, he's talking about redemption, our restoration to the place of glory. So now when we are tying this to the birth of Jesus, what are we talking about? We are talking about prophetic indicators in the narrative of Christ's birth that God put there for our redemptive purposes. If I'm communicating, say I hear you. So we're going to be looking at five. I just chose to speak about five today. So number one has to do with Jesus's birth in Bethlehem. Jesus's birth in Bethlehem. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? When you read Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 to 7, maybe we should look at that. You know, when you read that narrative, it gives an impression that Jesus' birth was accidental. Amen. The Bible says that the Caesar at that time, Augustus, had given a command, given a decree that all people should go back to their birthplace for census. Amen. And because Joseph was of the house of David, he had to go with his betrothed wife, Mary, who at that time was heavy with child, to go and be registered. Now, if you know the story, when they got to Bethlehem, first of all, they were struggling for space they couldn't get. And they managed to get a little animal shed. It was in that Bethlehem, under those circumstances, that Jesus was born. So to the average reader reading that story, it looks like it was accidental. Am I communicating? But I want you to know that there was nothing accidental about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, it was divinely orchestrated to fulfill prophecy and bring about divine purposes. Amen. Amen. Now, we read Matthew, right? When the Magi, the wise men, when they came to Herod and announced that there was a king to be born, the Messiah king was born, Herod asked a question. He asked a question of the wise men and the prophets around him. He said, what do the holy books say about this Messiah? And they gave him an answer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2 verse 4 to 6. Matthew chapter 2 verse 4 to 6. Media, please, please, please receive speed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? Okay. He said, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the child was to be born. Verse 5 says, so they said to him in of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So it was predetermined and prophesied that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And then in verse 6, he gives us the prophecy which actually comes from Micah chapter 5 verse 2. He says, but you Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are you not the least among the rulers of Judah? He said, for out of you shall come a ruler, for he will shepherd my people Israel. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So the question now is, why Bethlehem? I will tell you. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Hello? Bethlehem means what? House of bread. Amen. And guess what? Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 33, verse 50 and 51. Media, please, quickly. Amen. In short, he said he is the bread of God. He said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the people. Verse 50. 50. Can I get somebody who will help me read so that we are not dragging? He said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Verse 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Are we together? So prophetically, it was already predetermined before Jesus will come that he is not just coming on one platform, he's coming as the bread of life. Am I communicating? Now, if I want bread, where should I go for? Where should I go and look for bread? And what is the bakery? It's the house of bread. Am I communicating? So, in being born in Bethlehem, God was saying, that is the bread of life. Is someone with me? Hello? Praise the Lord. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me full. Hallelujah. Number two. We normally say Jesus was born in a manger, but Jesus was not actually born in a manger. He was born and put in a manger. Go and read the text. Hallelujah. 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 So being born in Bethlehem means he's the bread of life. Hallelujah. So why was he born and put in a manger? Now listen, you see, the manger was not where they stayed. What is a manger? A manger is a feeding trough. Please, can we put out our phones? The only phone call we are receiving, if you are using your phone, either mute it. If you are using it as a Bible, mute it or put on flight mode. Amen. Because we are streaming it to interfere with our... So, let me stay with what I was saying. Praise the Lord. So, a manger is a feeding trough, is the plate that livestock use. It's not the place where they were. Hallelujah. That word manger is a wooden container where they put animal feed. So when Jesus was born, he was taken, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and placed in a manger. Amen. Like we saw, he was not accidentally born in Bethlehem. He was also not accidentally put in a manger. I asked the question yesterday, and we got all kinds of answers. There was no room in the inn. Hello? Okay, there was no room in the inn. He could have been born and the mother would have kept him in the hands. Hello? Why did he have to be put in a manger? I will tell you. Praise the Lord. Being put in a manger was an indication that he is the perfect substitute for our sins. So let's trace it. Are we together? Am I communicating? Now, God had appointed a lamb or a bullock as the sin substitute for man. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. It says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And he goes on to tell them that that lamb must be slaughtered. Are we together? Eating, and then we had the Passover. And Jesus came to be our own Passover. While the lamb was eating, he said, it's my body you will now eat. So Jesus was giving us as the perfect sin substitute. Now, to send the message before Jesus came on board and made the announcement, God made sure he was born and put in a manger. Am I communicating? I'm talking about the mysteries behind Christ's birth. Number one, he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Why? Because he's the bread of life. He's the bread from heaven. Number two, he was placed in a manger when he was born to be our perfect sin substitutes. In John chapter 1 verse 29, the moment John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Say, mystery is the wisdom of God hidden in plain sight. I said that along the way. Amen. We said there are things God hid in plain sight, but are not visible, that are prophetic indicators to our redemption. Now, you know, if I said the mystery is the wisdom of God concealed, then we said the mystery is what? A mystery is what? The wisdom of God that God hid and he foreordained for our redemption. So I now conclude by saying a mystery is what? The wisdom of God or prophetic indicators of our redemptions hidden in plain sight. That means you are looking at it, but you can't see it. And we're looking at five of them. So number one, he was born in Bethlehem because he's the bread of life. Number two, he was placed in a manger because he's our perfect sin substitute. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So while we are celebrating Christmas, these things must be at the back of our minds. Hallelujah. Are we ready to move on? Praise the Lord. Number three, now it will interest you that the first people who were told about Christ's birth were who? Shepherds. The Bible says there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. That's one of the reasons we have come to the conclusion that Jesus was not born in December, because it's winter. Hello? It's what? It's winter. No shepherd will keep his sheep outside in winter at night. So he couldn't have been born at that time. It was freezing. Amen. So he says, Luke chapter 2 from verse 8 to 12. Let's read that quickly, so I'm not just saying things off my head. Luke 2, 8 to 12. Somebody read for me. Media might not be quick enough for me. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out. So they were not just watching, living out in the fields. Hello? Is it a wise thing to be out in the fields by winter? Living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Verse 12. "And there will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." Hallelujah. So number three, the first people that were told were the shepherds. Amen. The angels could have gone anywhere, but they chose the shepherds. Why? Because Jesus someday will come and tell us he is the good shepherd. Amen. Jesus consistently referred to himself as the good shepherd. So the angels went to his constituency. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to the prophets. He went to his constituency, because Jesus came as the good shepherd. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number four. Before I get to number four, let's look at verse 13 and 14 of Luke chapter 2. Verse 13 and 14, Luke chapter 2 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men.'" So number four, amen. There was an apparition of angel. In short, an angelic choir appeared on the scene and began praising God. And why? Because he is the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth. Is someone with me? Amen. As the Lord of hosts, the host came to pay homage to their king. One angel could have done it, but the host had to show up to point to the fact that Jesus is the Lord of hosts. Now, how does that affect you and me? How does it relate to our redemption and our salvation? I'll tell you. Amen. As Lord of hosts, he exercises sovereignty over every power, over every dominion, over every force, and over every realm. Why? Because a day is coming when the Bible will tell us that because Jesus humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, both on earth, in heaven, underneath the sea, wherever they are, they will bow and confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord over all. Now listen, Jesus did not need the name. Oh, he didn't get it. Why was he given a name? When he was going, he says, "In my name." He needed the name for us, not for himself. Because the Bible says he was already equal with God. No name is higher than God now. Talk to me. He was already equal with God. He didn't need to put those things under himself because he was already preeminent. The Bible says all things were made for him, and without him was nothing made. Whether they are principalities, whether they are powers, whether they are dominions, whether they are rulers, that means he created them. He was before them, preeminent, he was pre-existent, superior to them in rank. Hello. Then he decided to humble himself, became like a man, so that the name he has been given, Jesus, can be exalted above every other name. Because when he's going to give you that name. So that whatever you ask in his name, whatever you decree in his name will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the ones that say in the name of Jesus. So you see, at the mention of the name, who mentions the name? Who mentions the name? So who is the name for? Come on, shout that name.
Jesus.
Come on, shout it again.
Jesus.
I prophesy that whatever has not bowed before, as you call on that name right now, because you have understanding, that thing will bow for you.
Amen.
Oh, I feel like prophesying to somebody. 2025 will bow for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Come on, shout that name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I give you the fifth one? Amen. The fifth one is in Matthew's gospel. Luke does not mention it, but Matthew tells us about it. And it has to do with the gifts that attained to his birth. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us when the Magi, we are the ones that concluded three wise men, probably because they brought three gifts. Okay, before I move on, I think we should read the scriptures. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says, therefore, God has only also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21, it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above. Not at the same level, far above. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Listen to me, if you know how to put the name of Jesus on your lips, if you know how to use the name of Jesus, nothing can oppose you. Hello? Hello? If you know the authority in that name, nothing can withstand you. God said to Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. He said, all the days of Moses, nobody could stand before him. But that is small fry compared to who you are. He says, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and seated him in heavenly places where? Come on, talk to me now. Don't worry, you soon eat the Christmas chicken. Don't let it be cloud your judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Where has he seated him? Yes. All, not some, all, yes, and might, yes, 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 yes. Listen. That means even if the name has not yet been invented, you already have authority over it. If there is sickness that is going to come in 2025 that has not yet manifested in all human creation, you already have authority over it. You see, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. So you already have authority over the problems that might arise in 2030 if Jesus has not come. Hello? Am I communicating? Now, he said he seated him in heavenly places. Hello? But the Bible does not stop there. You know, when you go to Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says he raised us up and made us sit together. So where he's sitting is where you are sitting. Oh, you didn't get it. Where he's sitting is where. And where is he sitting? Where is he sitting? Far above. Far all and. So where he is, so you are. As he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was, though. You know, at times we look at Jesus who walked on water. We look at the things Jesus did, those neat things, and we wish we could do that. But that is the least you are supposed to be operating. Because he said, he that believes in me, the same works that I do, he will do also. But greater works than this. Because as he is currently glorified with the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above, he says, so are you in this world. Hello. So in case a witch came to visit you recently and you've been afraid, when you just get home, call the witch and tell them that level don't change. Amen. Am I communicating? Those people who are afraid to travel because there are witches in their village, just announce to them that you are coming. Meet them through roadblock. Say they come. Let us see if you can stay in the road. Amen. That's why the name of Jesus should never be scarce in your mouth. It should never be. So number five, so I can round up. The gifts that were brought for him. Matthew chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name for me, that at the mention of that name, every knee will bow. Shout that name. Jesus. Now imagine what has not bowed, then shout that name. Jesus. Consider that financial situation and shout that name. Jesus. That impossible condition and shout that name. Jesus. Everything that has oppressed you and shout that name. You know an interesting thing? You don't even need to shout it. He said, at the mention, so I can whisper it and it's effective. I can say it in silent tones and it's effective. You see, the difference is knowing what I'm saying. Because some people are saying, but the other day they were pressing me in the night. I was shouting, Jesus, 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 and they were pressing me the more. Amen. I don't even need to shout it. I just need to say it. Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 2 verse 11. Amen. If this is what I get for Christmas, is more than everything. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. Why those gifts? Hello? Why did they bring Pampers or Cerelac or SMA gold? You are coming to see a baby, you are bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember that these wise men or magi, they were able to read his star. They say, we have seen his star in the east, and we know that this is a king. Amen. Amen. This one is frightening. If they can read the star of Jesus, they can read your own. They were not men of God, though. They were magi, from where we get magicians. So they read the star. They were able to see into his future. And they saw that this was no ordinary king. First of all, you don't see a king without bringing gifts, so they brought gifts. But they also saw that this was no ordinary king. So by seeing his star, they were able to read his prophetic destiny. And they brought gifts that pointed to his prophetic destiny. Gold, Christ the King. Frankincense, Christ the Priest, our intercessor. Incense speaks of intercession. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save to the uttermost all those that come to God through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. And they brought myrrh, because they knew he was one day going to pay for our sins. He was our suffering Savior. Amen. Guess what? When Jesus hung on the cross and he cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" They mistook that he was crying out in agony for the pain. So the Bible says they took myrrh and mixed it with vinegar, put it in a sponge, and they gave it to him. And when he was brought down from the cross, hello, part of the spices that they used or wanted to use to embalm him was also myrrh. Hallelujah. Five mysteries surrounding his birth. That's not all, I just chose five. Five mysteries that show that he pre-existed before he came to earth. Five mysteries that show, hello, that he was not just born, he was born on purpose. And that purpose was clearly stipulated even from the day he was born. As we celebrate today, let that be at the back of our minds. Amen. I saw something on social media the other day. Some, permit me, rascally mom put a banner in front of their mosque in Lekki and said, "Jesus is not God." There's more than enough proof. How can you exactly predict details of a person's life in the circumstances around his birth? Some of them even before he was born. Even things people were doing on their own without any consideration of Jesus. Do you know that even his clothes that they cast lot for, the Roman soldiers cast lot for, was prophesied by David? His side that was pierced was prophesied by David. His bones not being broken was prophesied. He could only be God. Why did Jesus come? I'll round up with one statement. He came to die. If he was not born, he can't die. Hello. He needed to be born so that he can die. Because the Bible says he was without beginning of days or end of life. So to have an end of life, you must have a beginning of days. So the only way he could die for our sins is that he had to be born. If he just dropped from heaven and said, "I've come to die for your sins," he will still not die. He had to be born. Am I communicating? This day had to happen. Whether it's October, whether it's November, whether it's December, whatever date men put to it, it just had to happen. See, what matters to us is that he came. It's not when he came that matters. It's that if he came in January, it won't change the fact that he died for our sins. If he came in February, so the day he came is not the issue. What matters is that he came. And he came to die that we can be free from our sins and from the harassment and the clutches of the devil. Hallelujah. That's why to celebrate Christmas and not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior is madness. Hello? Because the whole essence of Christmas, of his coming, is to save you from our sins. Matthew 1:21, the angel said, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So, to celebrate Christmas without Jesus as Lord and Savior, it doesn't make sense. Because the major gift you have not taken. So this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're not going to assume this morning. You've not surrendered your heart to Jesus. I'd like you to give you an opportunity so that your celebration will be worthwhile. Amen. It was clear from what we've seen that in his birth was already indicated that this one is coming to redeem mankind. So you've not surrendered your heart to Jesus. I'm not talking about church attendance. Maybe you're just passing. Oh, they're having service. So let me come so that Christmas can be complete. You've not given your heart to Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. So you want to say, "Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again." Just lift up your hand wherever you are so we can pray together. Is anybody like that? Okay, can we rise to our feet? Can we rise to our feet? Can we do something? Can we recommit our lives to him? Can we recommit our lives to him? Can we tell him we acknowledge why he came? We recognize why he came. And this morning, we commit to following him all the way. We know he didn't just come so that we can have chicken and rice. He came to save us from our sins. So let's talk to him this morning.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.